What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Grant and Danny, exclusively sponsored by the law firm Condori and Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today, kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. One more winning off the field for you before we get to the Beltway Blitz.
Oh, okay.
This never happens, but I just got a text from my wife.
Okay.
Apparently our kids were good at church today. How about... three compliments.
Three?
While they were at church this morning. Three.
Three.
Compliments about the kids behaving. Now, when I go there with them on a Sunday, what are the opposite of three compliments? Like people staring at you side-eyed?
Three eye rolls, a loud sigh. You know the loud sigh?
Three trips to the car because they won't stop scream crying?
The look around with a sigh, kind of like
so
everyone acknowledges.
So yeah. Good they're making cupcakes right now at home.
That's winning off the field.
Yeah, Bruce, you're damn right.
That good.
That's a big deal.
The Beltway Blitz every day at this time gets you plugged in on the teams you care the most about in town. Let's get after it. Charlie Slows, one of the voices of Nationals baseball you hear right here on The Fan. He and Dave Jagler will be on the call pregame, 6:15, first pitch, 6:45 for the Nats and the Phillies tonight. Charlie, a win as spoilers last evening. How about Brad Lord? What a season he's putting together.
You know, we saw him in spring training, and they really liked what they saw with him and looked at him as a future starter, but didn't really have a spot in the rotation. And then Michael Soroka was hurt after his first start, and he was in the rotation and then back in the bullpen. And then when Trevor Williams went down, they said, the heck with it. Let's just – he's going to start next year. Let's do it now. And he's been everything that they hoped for, and he's got a chance to be a really good pitcher. When you look at the way opposing teams swing at his pitches or don't, and you could figure out why he's hard to pick up, and his stuff is really good. And we talk to players on other teams, and they tell us, you know, it's just really hard to pick up. He's got really good stuff, and he showed it against a really good lineup.
How meaningful for Cole Henry was last night?
You know, I talked to him a few minutes ago. I said, I bet your heart was beating a little different in the ninth inning. He goes, yep. And, you know, to get through that inning. Now, granted, they used Ferrer for the tougher part of the order, the lefties in the eighth inning, it went to him. But still, it's the ninth inning in a one-run game against a first-place team, a World Series contending team, to get through it, strand that runner at third. That was a great job. And I think, you know, for him to be in that spot and have some success, because he had success earlier in the year and then went through a period of struggles, I think that's big for him last night. No question.
Last time out, speaking of big for somebody, Mackenzie Gore needed to be better, and he was. We talked to him on the show since the last start. Six shutout, three hits, 10 strikeouts against the Giants. He finally looked like his dominant first half self. What do you think he solved?
Well, I think I think the previous start he was so focused, the last couple of starts before that, when he was having control issues and not able to locate, that he, you know, focused too much on trying to throw a perfect strike and was too much over the plate. And, you know, he had his command last time out, you know, to move the ball around and use all of his pitches, and he was dominant. So tonight will be a really good test. I mean, he's matched up against Wheeler. This is a rematch of opening day when he struck out 13, one of his best games in the big leagues.
Charlie, it'd be easy to point to a couple numbers here and there, but just in terms of overall growth, what do we want to see from Brady House over these last 40 or so games?
You know, we really haven't seen the power that we thought we would see. 13 home runs at AAA. Only two, and they both came in one game here. And, you know, I think that'll all come. It's there. It's first time through the big leagues trying to figure it out. You know, if he hits a few more home runs, great. If he has good at bats and contribute and continues to play really good defense at third, I'm not really concerned about him. I'll tell you what, though. I was just talking to Dylan Cruz, who will be our guest on Nats on Deck. This was tough. There was never in his life did someone tell him, you can't swing a bat, you can't run, you can't play baseball for a period of time. And that's what he went through. So he felt like a little kid, really soaked it all in looking around last night when he ran out to right field. It was like making a debut all over again.
Yeah, he looked good, too. He had a hit. He stole a base. He made a diving catch. He certainly looked healthy, huh, Charlie?
Yeah. If you know, I was just talking to Paul Lasar, the National Director of Athletic Training, said exactly what you said. When he stole the base and went in head first, he goes, that's the one thing we didn't practice. We practice feet, you know, when you're trying to get him through all the hurdles to come back. The trainer cringes on the head first slide, but you could tell with all he did last night to make that diving catch that he's at 100%.
Charlie, thank you. Have a great call tonight.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you, my friend. Hit that NFL sounder, Darius. Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, joins us to talk about the NFL. Frank, is there a team who's over under win total? You can't quite figure out which way to look.
Oh, man. A few of them. You know, and that's the nature of over-unders that usually set pretty good lines. But I think one of them that stands out to me is the Patriots, because I can make an argument either way. It's 8.5, which gave me sticker shock. I'm like, there's no way they get 8.5. And I thought about it. They upgraded their coach by miles. They had what I thought was the best free agency crop in the NFL. They had what everybody, the consensus grade, said was the best draft class in the NFL. And they have the easiest schedule in football this year. So you add all this stuff up and you say, maybe this team can win 9 or 10 games. Like, oh, what's stopping them, really, if Drake May takes that leap? So that was one where I was like, I still, taking the over of 8.5 on a team that's won 8 games the last 2 seasons combined it's tough. Let's put it to you that way. And so I guess the Patriots kind of lead off that, where I'm just like, I could make the argument that they're going to be really good this year because of the schedule mostly. I can make the argument that, hey, let's not get too over our skis on a team that was 4-13 last year.
Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports, what's your national perspective as far as what's going on with this ongoing McLaurin versus Commander stare now?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, I started when training camp started, I figured, I think most people figured this. All right, they're going to come to some agreement. They're going to give Terry what amounts to back pay, right? Like, hey, you were a good soldier for all those years when we were terrible. Here you go. We'll give you a big raise. But, you know, we talked about it. My colleague, Charles Robinson, talked about it on our Inside Coverage Live show this week. They came in pretty hot, McLaurin's side. And I think people are finding out that Adam Peters is a negotiator. He's not just going to give in just because Terry McLaurin's very popular. He's been a very good player for them. He has some leverage because he knows, like, the Commanders don't want to take a step back from last year when they had such a breakthrough. So now we're here, and it's basically through the second week of the preseason, because it's not like, you know, Terry's going to play this week. So how long does this drag on? And, you know, even if McLaurin signs 2 days before the season, that might mean he's not really Terry McLaurin until late September. Hey, you got to get in football shape. There's no replicating that anywhere else. So I'm stunned. I can't lie. I thought this would have been done a few days in the camp. You know, if Terry takes a couple days off of practice, signs a deal, gets back on the practice field. He's a veteran. But the longer it drags on, the more I'm like, well, what is the end game here, and when's it going to happen?
Frank, I think the Bears will be better than they were last year in a really tough division. A, you can tell me if you don't agree, but B, how much better?
And that's the thing. I try not to get too caught up with camp reports, right? We have nothing else to talk about, and everything is just blown out of proportion. But have you heard one positive thing coming out of Bears camp? Because I haven't. I look every day. It's part of my job. And it's like everything seems negative coming out of Bears camp, where it's just that they're slow getting the offense, and Caleb's not producing well, and Ben Johnson's yelling every day, and maybe that's just camp stuff, and we'll get to week one, and it'll look great. But I'm way further down on them than I was a month ago, and maybe that's the wrong approach to take, but you just start to think about it. You're like, this is kind of starting over for Caleb Williams, his second rookie year almost, with a completely different scheme, with a perfectionist head coach. It might take a while for them to get it. And if it takes, you know, 6 weeks for them to adjust to Ben Johnson and really get in a groove, 6 weeks, you might be buried in that division. You might be done. I mean, you got 3 teams that I think Vikings are the most underrated team in the NFL right now. I think everybody's sleeping on them. I think the Lions are going to be great. I mean, I think we've also underrated the Lions, because everybody brings up Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. Well, they ain't picking fans out of the stands on a raffle to call plays. Like, they still have some pretty good coaches there. And then the Packers are just, they're loaded. I mean, they're, you know, we know about them. So I don't know. I think the Bears will be better. I just don't know when they're going to be better. I don't know if it's going to be right away. And it might be a team that just finishes the last 2 months strong, but that ain't going to do very good in the toughest division of football.
At Yahoo Schwab on social, you want to go follow him. Hey, I enjoyed your Shador Sanders piece a couple days ago. It was really good. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. There's Frank Schwab. Go check him out. He does an awesome job covering the NFL for Yahoo. Let's keep it moving on our Blitz. It's been great having Adam Kilgore out in Ashburn. I don't know if that's a mutual feeling or not, but I am fired up that he has been out there covering the Commanders over the last few weeks to get a little spend a little time with him after a long time not seeing him. How are you enjoying it? I mean, it has been a long time since you've been out there with the boys.
Of course, it's mutual, Grant. Yeah, no, it's been great. It's a good group of people out there. They're a fascinating team at a really interesting juncture for the franchise. So, yeah, all good things.
I am curious, though. Like, it's been years since you were out there probably in this similar capacity, and everything is different. I mean, literally everything looks different. Everything's been rebuilt and remade and repainted, and now it's run correctly. Like, how tangible and noticeable is that to you?
Oh, God. I mean, it's apples and doorknobs, you know? I mean, there's you can't, it's like it's a different franchise, literally. I mean, there's no bigger symbol, and this is not the first time anyone's ever said this, but, you know, you used to walk over there, you park your car, and you'd look over the practice fields, and there's that disgusting, like, cement green practice field with the old Redskins helmet in the middle of it up until, like, 3 years ago. I mean, there's no – and now, you know, they got hyperbaric chambers in the locker room. It's like, you know, it's 180 degrees times 1,000.
Give me a state of the union, Adam, on the offense right now this minute.
I would say mild frustration is starting to set in based on the fact that opening day is coming pretty quick, only about 3 weeks away, and some of the pieces that have been missing that are very important, starting off with Terry McLaurin, aren't coming back. McLaurin's not the only guy that's missing. Sam Cosmi is still on PUP, and they haven't ruled him out for week one, although I have a very hard time, you know, seeing a guard being able to come back from a torn knee ligament, by week one. Brandon Coleman, you know, through no fault of his own, he's been out. Noah Brown, very frequently hurt right now, hasn't been playing. And they need those guys to get on the field. They can't snap their fingers and have these players come back, the Wednesday before they play the Giants and have everything be cool. McLaurin is an incredibly intelligent football player. He knows Cliff Kingsbury's system from last year, obviously. But, you know, it's not like him and Jaden Daniels are Montana and Rice in terms of their connection. They're both smart guys, you know, both excellent players, love playing together. But they need more reps, and they're not getting them. And, I think Cliff Kingsbury gave voice to some of that in a way that nobody in a leadership position had before. I think that's pretty telling.
Which is what I want to double-click on with you here. I mean, the quotes that stood out most to me were when he said they haven't really had a ton of contact, which is telling even though he's in the building. And then secondly, when he said clearly, we're at the point where we need to start getting those guys, when they're available, out there gelling and see what we are. And the question was about Terry, and that's clearly who he was talking about. Do you think this is a shift in organizational tone or just one guy who's pretty candid kind of saying his piece?
You know, I very much wondered that, Grant. I don't know if it was coordinated in a way to have, you know, you've got Dan Quinn, who has been nothing but supportive, you know, and sort of more or less avoiding the topic, aside to say that he cares about Terry as a person, you know, if he's kind of the good cop here, then they bring in Cliff to be the bad cop. Or if it's just like you said, if it's an offensive coordinator saying, we just got shellacked in a scrimmage, and I'd like to get my offense, to a place where we can move the ball against the first team defense, you know, more than three or four first downs in two quarters. Could you please get on the horn with Buddy Baker and get this contract done? Because the Giants aren't going to be very easy to play either. They got Abdul Carter and Dexter Lawrence waiting for him in 3 weeks, and it would sure help to have a full complement of guys. Now, I think like you said, it's pretty clear. You know, he wasn't only talking about Terry, but he meant McLaurin because the other guys can't snap their fingers and get healthy. There's a little more control by the parties to get McLaurin on the field.
Is there a chance we're underrating the impact that Jalen Lane and or Luke McCaffrey are going to have this year, Adam?
I think Yelich is going to have a big role. If Luke McCaffrey is going to have a big role, I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't think he has shown that or earned that thus far in training camp. Coaches felt great about the spring he had. I know that. I don't think it's shown up day-to-day in practice. And the fact that Jalen Lane is starting to get more of his reps with the first team and even get some reps outside for a rookie who's 5'10", I think that tells you a lot about how impressive he has been in his first camp as a rookie. You know, coach's kid, and it really shows. He's got a very advanced understanding of the game, a lot of quickness, and even a lot of speed that he's showing now as an outside receiver at times.
Squeezing this last one in real quick, just looking at your Twitter feed here, it sounds like good day on the kicking front for Matt Gay. He needed a good week after the preseason game and how he finished in the joint work a week ago with New England. Does it feel like he's kind of gotten back right and maybe the temperature is cooling on him?
I think that's right, yes. I mean, if Dan Quinn wasn't ready to bring a kicker in last week, then he's definitely not now because he's been pretty money. He did miss one from like 39 yards, and it was like, oh boy, you got to cover this again. But I think since that kick, that was Tuesday or so, he hasn't missed at all. He was great today. I don't think they want to have that be a point of drama, and Matt Gay's done a good job of making it not one recently.
Adam, thank you, buddy. Good to catch up. Have a good weekend.
All right, fellas.
Adam Kilgore of the Post, sensational writer, covering the Commanders right now. So go check out his work and make sure you are reading what he's got in the Post as well as we get closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. Speaking of the folks that are out there covering the team, I'm going to steal an idea from Ben Standig, formerly of The Athletic, now does Substack Standig. He had a piece he wrote where he basically said, look, there's a lot of talk about Terry McLaurin. There's a lot of things going on with this team, but here's 11 things that you can feel good about. And I kind of want to do something where we just go, hey, what are the areas of this team that give you a lot of pride and or confidence or hope? Something that you feel really good about that maybe isn't being talked about that much. We will further explain and get into that next on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Nats lineup just came out. For whatever reason, Brady House is not playing at third base tonight. Paul DeJong is.
We just can't get 100% on the quiz.
We're so close.
Every time. It's always...
Finally got all four outfielders not named Jacob Young in the lineup with one DHing. That's what we're looking for. Now go ahead and put Brady House at third base.
Oh! We didn't. Again, Paul DeJong, big swing yesterday. That was awesome.
Home run.
But?
It just seems easy, doesn't it? Someone just needs to have a quick conversation with the interim manager and say, either you write these names down every day or we'll find someone who will. That it's a very simple conversation. Lost season, developing players, let's play the children. Can you do that for me? All right, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right, man.
Go have fun.
Seriously, enjoy it.
Go enjoy this opportunity to be a manager. Just... see this little list I'm sliding across? These guys got to be in the lineup every day.
Features, these are you'll notice a distinction. On this side are the older players. Now, this side right here, these are the younger ones. These are the ones right here. These guys.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. Ben Standig on his Substack had a piece that I liked. He wrote about 11 positives with the Commanders right now. He says no pom-poms required. And he went through things that he really likes about the football team. He said Frankie Louvu is a maniac. Laramie Tunsil is a badass. You know, different things that are areas where fans can either be prideful or hopeful or confident. Just something that you feel good about. And I thought it made for a good topic, actually, for us to discuss on the show and maybe even open up phones on. So we can do that now at 800-636-1067. Let's put Terry in the back seat for a moment. Mm-hmm. Let's let everybody else frustrations, issues, questions, and worries. Let's just put those to the side. There's a lot to like about this team. First and foremost, anything involving number five, Jaden Daniels. So I think for the sake of the conversation, we could just separate Daniels. Let's look for things that don't get talked about that are actually very positive right now or could be strengths for this team. We can go back and forth here, Danny.
They've still got Austin Ekeler. When he's in the game and he gets touches, he's wildly effective. He is such a good offensive player. Now, you can't overuse him because of injury and breakdown and wear down and the like, but he is the easy button that I always talk about with players on offense. Not necessarily strike up the band, you know, DeSean Jackson 80-yard touchdown, but you remember some of these games where the script was Austin Ekeler, little flip to the right, Austin Ekeler handoff, now you're past midfield and scoring range, and we're going to go for it on fourth down, and we're going to brotherhood this way and ring the bell, and we're going to go, you know, get some points out of the drive. He makes things easy. He's still here, overlooked.
I think the offensive line has a chance to be really good this year. Laremy Tunsil at left tackle is going to be a gigantic upgrade and a substantial building block for the next few once they lock him up. Brandon Coleman moving in from tackle to guard has a chance to have happen at left guard what happened with Sam Cosmi at right guard. I think we could be talking about Coleman in 2 years as a guy on the precipice of Pro Bowls who's just well-respected as one of the better left guards in the league. Tyler Biadasz at center is very serviceable. He is good. I don't know where you'd rank him, but he's probably somewhere around like 10 to 12 among centers in football. If you know if you told me he's 9th or 10th, I would buy that. If you told me he's 13th, I'd get that, but he's a top half the league player at the position. Cosmi's hurt. I don't think he'll be ready in week one. They're suggesting he will be. But I do think he'll be here within 4 to 6 weeks into the season. In the meantime, Allegretti slides over, who started all year long last year when they had a great offense. And then you've got a competition with two options at right tackle, the rookie Josh Connerly, the veteran Andrew Wiley. And while Connerly got off to what I perceived to have been a difficult start to training camp, that's going to happen when you're a rookie learning the ropes. How good did he look in the preseason game against the Patriots? I mean, I saw some of the Logan Paulson breakdown where he was really enamored with certain plays, but just my own eyes, not as smart as Logan, watching him, he looked comfortable, he looked confident, he looked strong, he looked athletic. I thought he was great. So you got Connerly, let's just say he settles in at right tackle next to Cosmi with Biadasz, Coleman, and Tunsil. I think by the end of the year, Danny, this could be their best offensive line in a while, something I feel really good about.
Trey Amos, they might have one, dude. They might have a guy. I was, you know, looking at their secondary this offseason. They didn't go big game hunting. They didn't go for a couple of the heavier hitter names, the Carlton Davises, the DJ Readers, etc. They chose to kind of go that middle class route, short-term deal, Jonathan Jones, who would have been perfectly adequate, perfectly fine, maybe a slight upgrade for Noah I or a couple of the other dudes that have kind of been in rotation here. So I was thinking, okay, that's their outside corner. Maybe Trey Amos emerged as something. I think he's emerged as something. I think this is a dude. I think this is a week one starter opposite Marshawn Lattimore. And all of a sudden, you look up and you go, well, look at this nice little young secondary with Mikey Sandmer still in the slot. And look at Trey Amos on the outside. You got the makings of something that's sustainable, not short-term veteran Vinny. I think they might have had something pretty special come through camp.
We've gotten to a point where people are down enough on Daron Payne that I think he's now underappreciated. When's the last time anybody's really talked about Daron Payne that you've heard as a storyline in camp?
I can't remember it.
Right.
If it's been years?
He's one of the best players on the team. He's one of the highest paid players on the team. And let's face it, I mean, when he's right, this is a guy who at one point in time here was a dominant force. Now he's just kind of furniture in the room. Nobody really talks about him or addresses him because it's been a couple of years now since he got paid where he's been semi-average, I would say. But how sure are we that Daron Payne still doesn't have some really good football left? That maybe if Javon Kinlaw next to him is taking on more bodies, that he can't get up the field a little bit. Not to mention he's motivated. He's playing in the third year of a deal with an out on the back end where the Commanders could get out of paying him $28 million next year if they want to. A motivated Daron Payne in the past was when we saw the best version of him. I kind of think he is a sneaky candidate to have a season nobody's talking about. Is he ever going to have the 11 sack, you know, whatever that was, monster Daron Payne season from a few years ago? No, probably not. I don't know if he's going to be saying, pay me my money. Pay me my money. The old Instagram bit that we fooled Daris with. If you haven't seen that, I'll make sure we post it on the 106.7 The Fan accounts. But he used to get a sack and he would like fake sign a check. He's like, pay me a giant contract and then I maybe won't live up to it. But I think this could be one of those years, like, it's gone the other way, where people were annoyed, frustrated, disappointed, whatever, and now we just don't talk about him at all. He's still really, really good. And if you remember in minicamp in the early part of the offseason, he was the guy Dan Quinn was pointing out saying,
Went out of his way, you're right.
He's in shape, I love what he looks like, I love how he's doing. I haven't heard anything lately, but when I go out there, he's noticeable at practice.
Last year at this time, we're going, you know, Dante Fowler is a situational pass rusher. Maybe there's something there. In this defense, with this exact same coaching staff, in this scheme, broke out for 10.5 sacks. Now, we know what the downside was. You don't want to play him on running downs, and he's going to get knocked into next week, etc. But as a pass rusher, a dude that hadn't had more than 6 sacks in, what, 5 seasons, 6 seasons, broke out in a major way. So much to the point that Washington was like, you know what, we don't really need to resign you. We're not that desperate. You can go somewhere else because we think we've got something. Now Dante Fowler has transformed into Von Miller. You telling me Von Miller, a guy with the get-off that he has, a guy with that still, that elite toolkit of pass rushing maneuvers, kept fresh in this scheme and design, can't wreak a little bit of havoc? You telling me Von Miller couldn't have more than 6, 7, 8 sacks as a situational pass rusher here? I don't know, man. Last year at this point, I would have taken Von Miller over Dante Fowler.
I'm taking this from Substack Standig. Things he feels good about, reasons for optimism with the Commanders. We're asking you to give us yours at 800-636-1067. By the way, Danny, did we try to get you with the pay me my money thing?
Absolutely.
You didn't participate?
Not for a single second. Smell that coming a mile away.
Had you already seen those reels?
Never once. It was so, you guys, if this was poker, you'd be like, I have a terrible hand. It was the most obvious thing in the world. Like pre-laughing.
Well, how did Darius get tricked?
Kind person, too okay. Trusting, I think. Yeah. It was so blatant where they're like, just do this really foolish thing and just but go last. It couldn't have been more obvious. Seriously. Make a fool of yourself, sound like a buffoon, and it'll be fun. No.
For people that don't know, this was like a viral, one of these things that Danny hates, frankly. Like all of the trends. Yeah,
and it's all gone away. Right. Correct. So I'm right.
Well, I mean, it goes away. It's not supposed to stay forever.
That's the point. They're
just these quick little trends that come and go.
I just got to the end when it's gone.
Social media. So the bit was, you're like with several of your friends, you do this thing where you say, pay me my money in a weird way. And you kind of like do a quick dance and then you move off and everybody claps. And then the last person that says it, nobody does anything and they just look like a complete fool.
Yeah.
So then me and Clary and Anthony and Toby and whoever else did it. And Darius does it last, and we just bob time him. And I mean, the video, I got to get the video. We got to post it. It's so funny. And also, I feel terrible.
Yeah, I mean, Darius, it's gut-wrenching. Nice,
it would have been better if it was you.
Yeah, totally.
But I mean, the fact that it was Darius, it works too. It was tough for him.
Yeah. It's a low moment where you're looking around confused. Where's Mike? Because what everyone does, everyone goes, yay!
Like, he just... Yeah. He only got because you wouldn't do it.
Right.
The rest of us were in on the bit to try to get you. Mm-hmm. And then Darius just happened to like go to the bathroom that time or go get Doritos that time. So he wasn't in on it. So we're like, well, who else can we screw and make their day terrible? Oh, Darius. Here he is.
Let's ruin Darius's day.
And he's like, nice. So he's like, yeah, I'll do it. No problem. Let's do this.
Yeah. That's tough. I mean, it was the most painfully obvious thing in the world that something was afoot. You're not wanting me on your internet trend because you think I'm neat.
You know who would gladly say pay me my money on that video? It's Terry McLaurin.
Am I right?
Bet he would have participated. All right, let's get to your calls next. 800-636-1067. Something you feel good about with the Commanders non-Daniels division. This is G&D.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
What do you feel good about as it pertains to your 2025 Washington Commanders? Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We've talked a lot about Terry McLaurin. We will talk more about the holdout. But Standig did a piece about 11 things that Commanders fans can rest easy about going into the season, and we thought it'd be a fun little combo. So let's hit the phones on this. Vix and Akakeek, what's up, buddy? Phone's not working. Let's go to Bill in Lorton on Grant and Danny. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, what's up, Grant and Danny? I'm optimistic and happy about several things, and y'all already have touched on some of them. That offensive line, once that cohesiveness come together, Grant, and all Cosby and Brandon Coleman going to be good, we're going to have a nasty offensive line. Bad boys.
Yeah, they could be really good. Secondary. They could legit be a strength.
Yeah, I hope so.
And that secondary that Danny just finished talking about, oh, with Trey Amos and Sanders still and the rest of the company? Oh, my goodness. I can't wait, man. Can't wait to see it.
September 7th is coming quickly against the New York Giants. Secondary, I love that answer because that has been my biggest takeaway from being at so many practices, is that their corners from 1 year ago to right now are the single biggest growth of any area on the roster. And I think it has a lot to do with knowing Sandra Still's excellent and seeing him have, in my opinion, one of the better camps that anybody's had for the days that I've been out there. He was sensational in the scrimmage, the burgundy on gold thing they did. Mm-hmm. And it was really good stuff against Ertz and Debo. It wasn't like he was running with, you know, KJ Osborne very often. But also, Amos is the real deal. You already talked about him, so I don't need to go into that. But I do think they got a stud potentially in round two. Lattimore is going to be the linchpin to the whole thing. He's having a very solid camp, and he looks way healthier and more explosive to me running than he did at the end of last year. But I've still got to see it against an A.J. Brown, a Mike Evans, a number one type.
For more than a game at a time, too. Exactly. It's got to be, yeah.
But that makes the whole thing work. If you have a corner one, because you're paying him like that, and now you can slot everyone down, so Amos has to be a corner two. I think he could do that at a high level. Sandra Still's in the nickel. I know he could do that at a high level. Like, now you could have an awesome corner room.
Well, it also... The level of expectation matters in this conversation a lot with anything else. So remember a couple years ago, not to pick on him, but when Montez Sweat and Chase Young are going, we're going to set the sack record. And then I think they combined for 10 and a half, whatever it was. That's pretty frustrating, and that sucks because the eye line is high. That wasn't the case for the secondary. There were more question marks than anything else. It was like, well, does Sanders still have to stay outside because we don't know what Jonathan Jones is, and we hope this rookie's something, and is Lattimore ever going to come back and be himself? We've gone from that's a weakness to, dude, we might have a strength here. We might have something pretty special, and that's a big departure.
Let's go to Adam in Mechanicsville. What's up, buddy?
Hey, fellas. Love the show, man. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, I think next man up a little bit with the receivers is something to be excited about. Like, last year with Zacchaeus and De'Ami Brown, we kind of didn't expect their years with Jaden behind. I know I'm kind of not going against – I'm going against the rules here by mentioning Jaden, but – what he can do to elevate those you know, like Elaine or maybe one of those like KJ Osborne's, it might be possible, you know, opposite, you know, McLaurin if he's playing, hopefully. If not, I mean, just bringing those other receivers up that we may not be seeing, I think it's an exciting prospect that some of those weapons might do something with Jaden lifting the players around him, you know, to be better, turning them into gold a little bit.
So this is actually a really intriguing point and something maybe we could come back to it in the days ahead, but everybody keeps suggesting their receiver room's not good enough, looking at what they have.
Yep.
And he's right that Jaden Daniels made guys better last year. Not even a debate. But they did get a lot out of Alamide Zacchaeus. He had one game against the Eagles that almost equaled his previous season in the NFL when he had 10 catches. And he scored a couple touchdowns in that game. They did have Jamison Crowder and guys like that making real plays in real games. And that all mattered for them. And I guess his point, and I agree, it's not just Daniels who's a big part of it, but Kingsbury elevated those guys. The scheme elevated those guys. They might be able to do that again. Like, they might have a group of coaches and an offense and a player at QB that can do that. Let's go to Elijah in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Elijah?
What's going on, fellas? I want to start by saying I don't know if Grant or Down, which one of you was talking about going out of the Outer Banks a few weeks ago, but I'm headed there tomorrow with the fam, so... I was like, man, when I heard y'all say that was y'all vibe, I was like, man, we can link up on that. That's dope, man.
Enjoy yourself, man.
Oh, man, it's going to be fun. But for me, I'm going to start with the coaching staff ability to coming out of halftime to make adjustments. There's no ego there. I see that they are listening to their players. If they don't make certain decisions in the first half, I was always confident in the second half that there would be legitimate adjustments that would give us a chance. I thought they just did a good job at a lot of times managing the clock and putting themselves in position. A lot of times you would hear Rivera say that, but I feel like that never really happened. I think this staff really did a good job considering the guys on the team, putting them in a good position to actually have a chance to do something in every game. And then if I go to a player, I'm going to go with Dra'Zon Newton, because if you can get those big guys to hold up and to be able to take on those double teams, there's going to be guys that just pop even beyond him. Guys are going to pop better if you have that play. You all were touching on the secondary and their improvement. So I'm looking really on that line to say if they can hold their ground, or if those big guys cannot really get pushed around, we're going to see one-on-one matchups that will be favorable for Washington. The Von Miller thing will work. I think other things are going to work better if they can really hold down that middle of the line and really make sure the run defense is together. Then I think this thing can really look really nicely.
Yeah, Newton.
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah,
15 snaps in that preseason game against the Patriots, and three of them were pretty impactful.
Real quick on the coaches, the continuity of the coaching staff was stunning when it happened this offseason.
My biggest fear when they hired the staff they did, and I don't know how long it lasts, but to have year one into year two after 12 wins was crazy.
And it's something that's now kind of been lost in the sauce because we're in the business of this season, but that was a major win for this org.
Oh, there's no doubt. Ben, Bethesda, one more. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Let's not forget about our first good kicker since Mark Moseley. It's finally nice to have a good, consistent kicker. I'm ready for football. Shout out to Tress Way. We got a great punter, too. And last but not least, I just want to say, Terry, I miss you. I love you. Please come back to me, baby. We need you. We need you, Terry. Come back. Come back.
Thanks, buddy. I was there on Matt Gay after a couple weeks of camp because he was just hitting everything. But then he had a real big 3 or 4 day rut based on all the reporters that went to New England leading into a miss in the preseason game. I mean, they were literally asking Dan Quinn on Monday whether or not he was going to bring in kickers. So I'm not there to put it in Sharpie again just yet after I got real excited early, but the resume for Gay is far exceeds that of anybody they've had over the last couple of seasons, other than Brandon McManus, who was here and gone in short order.
Never got to kick, yeah.
Because he got in trouble off the field. Next, let's talk to Mike Sando, who did the quarterback ratings for The Athletic, had Jaden Daniels 6th in the NFL based on his conversations with executives and coaches around the league. This is The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.